frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Also, I want to give a shout out to, let me get up here. Dog's on it. My brain just stopped on me. Wolf Spirit Radio. That's what. Sorry about that, guys and gals. Jump over there to Wolf Spirit Radio and say hi. Tell them Shazish sent you. Their web address is peopleforpeople.ning.com. So it's pretty much spelled just as exactly the way it sounds. Anyway, I'll post some links over there later for that down there in the chat room. I Want to kind of explain something real quick before I get started with today's show. I put a notice in several days back, family emergency in progress. Not sure how long it's going to take. We'll be back as soon as I'm able to resume regular shows. Love you all. Thank you for your patience. Please pass this message to your networks. Thank you. Shaziz. Anyway, we got a... I got a emergency call from my wife. Her dad was having some medical issues, and you know, things were going kind of sideways there. And so my wife really needed me by her side, so we took off. I took off over there, and we my wife had been spending the last 6 months or so nursing her mother and father back to health, taking them back and forth to medical treatment and such. And he had to go through several surgeries and order to put a graft in his leg so he can get blood circulation and all that kind of stuff. Well, something went wrong on the last deal, and the graft, they said, wasn't allowing blood flow through circulation to his leg. So we were out there because he didn't want to take another surgery, trying to do the best we could with alternative medicines and just a little bit of science and whatever we could do to try to, you know, comfort him and get him to being better. So with that said, we got pretty well stabilized there and bandaged up and all that kind of stuff. And of course my wife had some issues that she had to take care of, doctor's appointment and such. And we were heading back to home, and in a construction zone we were stopped at a flag man, and a big pickup truck slammed us in the rear end of the car and basically hit us so hard that he shoved us over nearly 100 feet away from past where the flagman was standing. So hard, in fact, that it literally ripped my seat completely out of the floorboard. But good news is, a miracle, we are still walking and we're all right, and everything is going to be just fine. A car can be replaced. We have each other. And so, you know, that's the blessing right there. Anyway, that's about all I can say about that right now. It's just, it's good to be back. And so today I just want to talk about on the mad science, what will it take, you know? My brain just stopped again. I'm sitting here reliving this crash in my head while I'm sitting here talking about it. It was a pretty terrible ordeal. I'm just you know, really fortunate and blessed that my wife didn't get hurt any worse than she did, and myself and stuff, and nobody was killed in the crash, but my car was completely destroyed. And if you look at the car, she's got pictures posted on her Facebook. It's a miracle neither one of us got hurt worse than we did. Anyway, back to the show. Check out People for People Radio. Really good, awesome people over there. Wolf Spirit Radio, go check them out. Say hi, tell them Shaziz is back and I sent you. So what do I mean by what will it take? I posted a link to a documentary down there. It's pretty interesting whenever you listen to some of these documentaries about secrets of electricity and history of electricity. You can Google up a lot of really interesting information and come across a lot of really interesting documents. There's one video that I'll just go ahead and cut and paste a copy of the link to that one there and ship it in as well. Let me do this. Talking and trying to do this at the same time ain't working out so well. It's called Lost Lightning, Missing Secrets of Tesla, plus Free Energy, little TV documentary movie, I guess, from back in 1998. So I'm going to post that link in the chat room as well, over there at the superchat.html. Anybody listening in want to post it over there, that's where I'm dropping the links. So, what will it take? There's supposedly close to at least 2 billion people on this planet don't even have electricity. You know, they don't have that luxury of, you know, fresh water and and refrigeration for, you know, places to put medicines to keep them, you know, fresh and all that kind of stuff. They don't have the luxury of just being able to walk over and turn the light switch on. And, you know, there's guys like me that believe what Tesla believed back in the day, that if you could give the world free energy, which the world's already provided, it's not a matter of giving it to them, it's there. It's just figuring out a way to tap into that energy that everybody can, you know, safely use, and, you know, that the power that this earth has provided for us is unimaginable. I mean, the resources that are available to all these people on the planet are so abundant that if used properly, we can have a wonderful society. But people like me, and thinking about how to put out the message or teach people how to use, you know, a bit of science to make their lives better or something like that, you know, as far as giving them electricity and alternatives to the mainstream system that we find ourselves in. If you look back through history, all the doggone inventors that even came remotely close to giving that knowledge to the people usually didn't fare so well. And even if it wasn't a nefarious kind of case, there's situations like, for example, the wreck I just explained to you, which was pretty nasty. It could have changed a lot of things. I could have been not here to even have this radio show today. But it just makes you think about how fortunate we are to have each other, and, you know, the pieces of the puzzle that come together when we finally, you know, get together and start working on projects and such. But it could have very well been the last day old Shaziz was ever, you know, trying to look into free energy. Thank the good Lord in the heavens above that wasn't the case. But nonetheless, it gives you a different perspective of how important each of you guys are and gals. It's amazing what we could accomplish together. You take one of us out of the picture, and it kind of slows the machine down there. Somebody, I guess, eventually will step in to replace that gear, but, you know, it's going to take us a lot longer to get things resolved in this world. Anyway, so there was a lot of guys like Tesla that did a lot of, you know, research outside of the mainstream science, that, you know, dared to question the mainstream science and brought amazing, you know, inventions to the table. Amazing ideas, you know, basically taught us how to harness the forces of nature. You know, Tesla wanted to figure out a way to take these great big waterfalls and turn it into a power source that could turn generators that would provide homes with electricity. And he succeeded. And there's hydroelectric dams all over this world now. You know, this knowledge, if used properly, I mean, there's no reason why that there shouldn't be anybody in this world who can't get a... they can't get a fresh drink of water. A lot of, you know, wells are so deep that they need some sort of system to be able to pump the water out. Well, science and physics gives you all the answers on how to get that fresh water out to the people. There are all kinds of wars or conflicts going on all over the world. And most generally, all these conflicts end up being over resources. End up being over land. You know, and they even said that maybe at some point there'd be wars over water, which is ridiculous because the earth is 3/4 covered in water according to what we've been told. So there's no reason why anybody should be able to or should have to do without anything. You know, homelessness and you know, starvation and sickness and all that kind of stuff. The question is, what will it take to finally get this world to the point where we decide to get along, where we decide to share knowledge across the table to each other, not out of greed or want for something, but out of love for each other and humanity. We have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to quite literally give everyone all the energy that they could use for trillions of lifetimes. That blows my mind. That's why I call it mad science all the time, is because here's something that nature has provided freely, just like water, just like the land that you're standing on and the air that you breathe and the wind that blows outside and the sun that shines above. All this, and then even including yourself, your body is an amazing machine. It's electrically charged. It's just if you really sit down and contemplate on details of how your body actually functions, it's really impressive. And so, with that said, you know, when I say something like free energy, and people get all crazy on me and tell me how stupid I am, that energy's not free, it always costs something or whatever. You take a look at the human body. You know you need food to help to keep that energy going, but the food was provided by nature in such great abundance that you're never going to run out. I don't understand why people believe that there's ever going to be a food shortage. If there's a food shortage, it's only because people relied on the system. They relied on the stores. They relied on others to do work that they could have otherwise done themselves by learning a little bit of knowledge in hydroponics, like my friend Simply Steve over there in the Philippines setting up that kind of system for people, to grow food in smaller places and such. So, there's a man who did some research that's sharing it with the world. And he's a good-hearted, wonderful soul as far as I'm concerned. But either way, nature has provided the resources needed to do everything we need to take care of us, and for us to be able to take care of each other. The governments of the world, we've got to get to a point where we quite literally are really picky about who we choose to follow as far as our leaderships, our Senates and Congress and presidents and parliaments and councils or whatever. If we're going to follow a structured system such as, government, then we need to be really super particular and really observant, paying close attention to always make sure that they know their place in society, that they're working for us, they're doing the job for the people. In most cases these days, governments have been, allowed a free rein, been running amok. And even businesses that provide services such as electricity or gas, or even the auto industry or the coal industries or nuclear power, whatever, they have financial power, and by allowing and not doing or saying certain things, we basically consent to having these people, able to keep us under their thumb. It's like, if I don't go to work and I don't pay my light bill, there's a man that can come out there, a woman, shut my power off. All of a sudden, the luxuries of life just went away. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we absolutely have to have electricity to survive, because there's history that shows that like the Native Americans, they never had electricity, back in the day, and even in other cultures out there, before electricity ever came around, before Ben Franklin and, Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla and all the different people that were into science and that kind of stuff, anything to do with energy and how things work, before they came along, how did they do things? Most generally, they used horses to pull things, and they pulled them themselves or whatever. You know, but the electric motor and the internal combustion engine didn't come around for years and years, if not decades, before, and they survived just fine. But now that we have access to that kind of technology, now that that knowledge is out there, it should be shared equally across the planet. Should be that people that are in parts of the country that might be slightly, parts of the world that might be slightly isolated, and in some cases they do. They have sent solar panel setups that can run electric pumps to pump wells and stuff, and be able to run small refrigerators to keep medicines from going bad and that kind of stuff. So there is progress being made. You know, it's just, in my view, it just seems like it is really super slow. And so, you know, I'm just asking the question, what will it take? You know, it seems to me that it seems like it always takes a tragedy to bring families and countries together. And I'm hoping that that ain't going to be the case. I'm hoping that we don't have to go all the way to the extreme of a tragedy such as World War III and, you know, destroy all of our infrastructures that we've already built and then have to start from the ground up. If we were sort of knocked back into the Stone Age, so to speak, then we could survive. You know, it'd be a lot different than it is now. But nonetheless, humans are pretty amazing. You know, our Creator put us around. And I'm going to add two dog to this call here. Cool. Sorry about that, folks. I got distracted. I'm going to throw two dog up in here. He's a nature scientist. He don't give himself much credit, but he's an awesome guy. Well, hello there, brother.
Oh, Theo, how you doing, brother?
Pretty cool. I was just bragging about you.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I was talking about you're a nature scientist. You don't give yourself much credit, which because that's because you're a humble guy. But nonetheless, you've studied nature and you know what nature has to offer. I mean, your heritage and all the generations prior to you, they learned things that nature was teaching that was able to, take care of each other, you know, to provide food and clothing and shelter. And I'm just trying to... Go ahead.
You know, when it comes to, like, nature in itself, okay, if you look at the Plains Indian, okay, let's look at the Plains Indian, like the Lakota people. You talk about lights in your house, right?
Yeah.
They actually, to build their fires, if they had no wood around, would actually use buffalo dung, actually.
Well, yeah.
That actually started fire with.
Awesome.
Okay, so you stay warm that way, plus you cook. Do we need electricity to survive? Not really, because nature provides the stuff for the heat.
Yep.
You have solar energy, so that's from the sun, isn't it?
Yep.
So all this nature is a provider throughout eternity.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm asking the question today, what will it take? You know, we've been provided this by nature since the dawn of mankind. We've had access to overabundance of resources, and now that we've got this thing that we call electricity and technology that we have available, you would think that mankind would use this to excel us even further to making it so much better for all of mankind instead of people in remote locations not being able to have access to fresh water. We could bring that technology to them. We could teach them how to do things and bring everybody up to the same level. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. And if you think about it, water is power.
Oh, yeah, water is amazing. Have that.
So there's all kinds of, scientific stuff you can do with nature in itself, because nature is scientific. It always has been.
Yep.
And the great wonders is incredible of what you can do with what is here. Let me give you an example. You talk about, say, being able to eat from the mother without going to the store, right?
Yep.
My wife was just out a couple of days ago, and she was picking the flowers off the tops of thistle, okay?
Yeah.
Now we have jam.
See, and that's amazing.
It makes jelly. In other words, now we have jelly that we didn't have to go to the store for.
That's amazing. And so it just boggles my mind, and what will it take? It shouldn't take a tragedy to bring this world together.
No, it shouldn't.
But I think we've allowed people, such as governments and representatives and stuff like that to we basically give them a free rein over us and nature, and they're not doing such a good job. There's a lot of people with some brilliant minds out there that can show better ways to grow things without tampering with nature. You don't got to get in there and mess with the genetics of corn in order to get corn to grow. Heck, you guys have been doing it for how many years?
Well, you got to look at the corn situation with the Indian people in itself. That is, corn is always been part of the Indian people. We have been here, and I'm just going to say it, this is what my ancestors have always told me, this is what my grandfathers and grandmothers always told me. We have been here for at least 130,000 years. So there's been a way of learning of medicine and how to eat, and corn was part of it. The Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois Confederacy always did that. There was always a way of, in other words, when the women go pick something, they don't pick it all. They just pick something. We only took what we needed and left them at rest. Because if you do that, you wipe that area out. You see what I'm saying?
But what's amazing about even with corn is that really there is no waste. If you utilize every single portion of this deal, I mean, there's even energy involved in corn.
Yes. I mean, if you look at what's going on, I've been watching the farmers here, okay? And what they've got going on now, you got this plastic-looking GMO'd corn that is growing out here. Okay?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it grows faster and it does, whatever. But actually, what's wrong with the way we used to do it? I mean, it's all natural if you do it that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's better for you.
Well, I think that, Steve said at the very top of this, this website over here, Super Chat over here at shazizradio.com says, "Nature needs no improvement. Only the arrogance of man requires change." Yeah, that's the best. He said it best when he said that. Also, Stephen Gibbons in the chat room said, "We do need electricity to survive. If your brain stops sending electrical signals to your heart or lungs, see how long you'll last, too, dog. Laugh out loud."
Well, okay, Stephen, let's look at it that way, all right?
Oh, man.
Let me explain something, Steve. This is the thing. When you look at the electrical waves going through your brain that keeps your, keeps everything going and everything like that, yes, that's science, and that's like earthly science in itself.
Yep. We're electrical beings, man.
Now, what I'm saying, Steve, is this. You have electrical companies, I'm saying, okay, that you have to pay to get your lights on here.
Yep.
But, and they love your business and they say they love you, okay? Because you're paying them to keep your lights on. What I'm saying is, if you say lose your job and you can't pay them anymore, they love you so much that they'll come out here and cut it off.
Oh yeah, I've been down that road before.
And they don't think twice about doing it.
You know, but here's the thing. With this particular conversation that we're having, your body produces electricity, but its power source, its rejuvenation, it all comes from nature. You know, the foods that you eat or whatever, and your body is a thermoelectric generator and quite literally a walking battery / capacitor. And so you in yourself, just by your very makeup, you know, 3/4 water, your energy, your pure power. And so that's the best example of free energy anybody could give. All you got to do is go out there and take advantage of what nature's provided and rejuvenate yourself.
I mean, just, if you think about it, and I'm just saying, if you think about how women actually bring forth life, if that's not energy in itself.
Oh, it's amazing.
And power. That's amazing. And that's scientific history. To be honest with you.
Well, you know, I think that if more people would have really actually paid attention to science and observed nature, which is basically what science is all about, observing nature and testing and learning from it, that it wouldn't be no science without nature, period. You know,
No. If
nature hadn't been showing us things like the power of a waterfall, you know, you can watch and you can see how destructive water can be and how water, life-giving water can be. There, water's probably, it's like the miracle element on this planet. I mean, it's just amazing the things that we can talk about, just the water molecule and the power that comes from it. You know, hydrogen and oxygen. One an explosive gas and one an implosive gas. And the two combined, you know, are literally a life-giving force. Your fish live in the water, or we're mostly water. It's just mind blowing. And
you have water generators, bro, that actually make electricity.
Well, yeah. Look at the hydroelectric dams. It's just utilizing the pressure and the force that nature already provided by these huge waterfalls to turn turbines to spin some magnets across some wire and get an electrical flow. But even without all that, the earth is constantly moving electrons around. You know, it's kind of like you rubbing your feet on the carpet and then shocking your brother on his ear or something like that. You know, it's like it's amazing.
What? I mean, if you watch water, it's strong enough to bend a rock, right?
Yeah.
It's strong enough you can actually bend a rock with water, okay, if it hits you, if the water hits hard, okay? But if you put water in a teacup, it becomes the teacup. You see, it can be also soft.
Yep. It's amazing.
If you put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot.
So, what do you think it would take for the world to actually get an understanding of what we have at our disposal, the capabilities of what we have? I mean, all the science is there, all the knowledge and education and the materials, and we got amazing electrical equipment these days. We got amazing computers and machinery. And we know the physics of what happens when you boil water as opposed to when you freeze water and vice versa. You know, everything that we need, nature's already provided in order to give everybody a equal comfort and be able to enjoy life, you know, a long, happy, you know, life. What's going to take to get people to understand that's the potential that we have available to us?
Well, one of the problems that we had, okay, I just say it like this, is that living to them at one time, living with nature was considered wrong. Okay? It's not civilized. Okay?
Well, now more people are trying to get back to that lifestyle.
Well, there you go. You know, going off grid.
Yep.
Like people talk about going off grid. Okay? The problem is, within this time frame, we have now gotten to the point that we don't know what we're doing out there.
Yeah.
We've lost it. Many people have lost it. They don't know.
Yeah, you can be surprised at how many people in this world have no idea how to garden, go fishing or hunting, or, you know, even be able to survive out in nature. So they're used to being able to go to the store, and suddenly the stores are empty and there ain't no place to get food. They don't know how to go get it. Maybe that's a show that we should do sometime. That, you know, there's a website out there called eattheweeds.com, and there's also one called eattheseeds.com, where it's this, like, the fruit seeds have health benefits, and eattheweeds.com is the one that tells you how to go out and forage out there, you know, in the world, and what you can eat and what you can't eat, or what you can use for medicine and so on and so forth. And that's something that your culture, for however long you guys and gals have existed, have learned and passed on to generation after generation, and it worked.
I mean, how do you think that they learned? And I'm talking modern society, right?
Yeah.
How do you think they learned that if you take the bark of a tree, you get aspirin?
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have a thing called black snake root, okay? It grows here. That actually takes care of headaches too. Now you have the cannabis out there. Yes, cannabis. It's actually medicine. We've always known that.
Yeah.
But they make that illegal, but...
Well, that's a whole thing.
So they make things illegal because it helps you.
It's a whole thing. You know, you're getting... the sunlight is shining on the earth for free. Nature's provided it, but yet somebody wants to monopolize on it to the extent that if somebody wants to go off the grid, the power grid, and run their system completely off of solar, there are parts in the world where they want to tax you for not being connected to the power grid. So they're actually kind of trying to force you to be connected to them in some form or fashion, so they can still, you know, take money from you. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. See, taxes, if they tax you constantly like they do here, okay, it's just a form of domination and being under the thumb, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the same thing could be said for water. You know, granted, if you live in an area like a huge city or whatever, and they're putting like fluoride or chlorine in your water, and you decide you don't want to drink that, so you go out and you buy a bottled water, you know, that's pretty much your choice, but there are methods by which you could actually filter the water that's coming out of your taps from the water company. But nonetheless, you're being sold water. You're being sold it in the bottle when you go to the store. You know, if you buy one by itself, it costs you about a dollar over here, but you can get it cheaper buying, you know, like a big case of it at the same time. But it just blows me away that you're paying for something that nature has already provided freely. So
let me say it like this, Shaziz, and I'll give this back to you. Before they came, the invasion, so to speak. No disrespect.
No, I get it.
You could actually drink out of any stream, out of any creek that you wanted to here.
Oh yeah.
Now you can't. It's like the whole water system is being diluted, if you think what I'm saying.
Well,
it's all being messed with. You can't do that here anymore.
My father-in-law lives on 360 acres, and he has his own personal well. And I told him, I said, you know, this water that you've got coming up out of here is probably the best thing that this land has to offer for you, because natural well water has natural minerals and healing qualities of natural well water, unless it's been contaminated by some outside source. Nature has filtered that water already. And if you taste the water out of a natural clean well like that, as opposed to what comes out of the tap, there's a distinct difference in taste. And there's also a distinct difference in health quality, you know, by the two. You see what I'm saying? Because he's in his 80s, all right? A lot of people in the city, they don't live past their 60s. You know, very few people, you know, 60, 70, 80, years of age. That's about standard down there. But out there in his area where most of the farmers are drinking fresh well water, then, you know, they don't seem to have all these issues that like fluorine or chlorine or fluoride that would be inside your, city water. You know, they'll pump it out of a dirty river and then filter it and then, you know, decontaminate it with chemicals and then send it down to you as fresh water. But it's not what nature had initially provided. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, you know, here, what's going on, you know, what's going on in some places here, we've had a rock quarry come in that's actually messing up the water situation, okay?
Yeah.
And when you have people in these high-up situations, okay, that say that they don't care what the people want, they're going to do it anyway, what do you do?
Well, that's when people need to get together. You know, that's when the people need to, and I'm not talking about in the lines of protesting and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a chain of command out there, according to government, and they're all supposed to be, you know, basically, we're supposed to be the top. We're supposed to be the ones in charge, but we don't exercise that. We don't hold them accountable for things that they're doing that are destructive to our, you know, environment. You know, for example, you know, when the EPA dumps a bunch of crud down the river, their only response is, I'll just wait for it to flow by and then you can start drinking the water again. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the people further downstream. You know, that kind of stuff. But we have the power, according to the way it was all supposedly set up, to, you know, put somebody in office that's going to ensure that that never happens again. You know, that kind of, you know, shenanigans won't be tolerated. But, you know, we just kind of trust our government. You know, you can always trust your government.
the system I've seen in some people, okay, and I'm talking some political people, and I'm not mentioning any names whatsoever, but what the problem seems to be is seems that they think that their power is over people. And it's not.
Nope. You see, there's supposedly close to 9 billion people on the planet, which, quite literally, that makes we outnumber them thousands to one, or maybe millions to one.
That's a definite.
But yet, we still rely on the governments of the world to take care of us. Now, if worst case scenario happens, so we ask the question, what will it take? If worst case scenario happened and for some reason the entire power grid went down and society collapsed and we were knocked back into the Stone Age, we'd be forced to learn how to do things again.
But let's look at it this way, just a second. If you talk about that, and you know, all this may happen to where, okay, we may go backwards, right? Within time, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if everybody in, say, Shaziz's neighborhood and everybody in my neighborhood and everybody around the world's neighborhood without this had to go back into that tribal mentality? Say, your neighborhood had to tribe up together.
Yep.
Then y'all will work together as a unit, not me, mine, and I, but we, us, and ours.
Yep. Personally, I
for
think
for the benefit of your neighborhood, see, so every community starts that tribal mentality.
Personally, I think I'm blessed to be in the neighborhood that I'm in because I'm surrounded by farmers who really know how to do their job. They know how to grow stuff. And I'm surrounded by, you know, a lot of brilliant individuals that, you know, every kind of trade you can think of. You know, everything from plumbing to electrical to, you know, welding and cooking and all the anything you can think of. And
yes,
that's exactly how we would play it out if things went awry. We'd take care of each other. So if we could just get that mentality to be an everyday aspect for all people, you know, and people started realizing that they can't rely on governments. I mean, if you want to live under a system to where basically you got rules and laws and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's your choice. But when
right.
those rules and laws start to step on the life-giving force that you're relying on to live, because, you know, it all falls back to nature. The farmer can't grow corn and wheat and all these vegetables and stuff if nature's not taken care of as well. You know, if you abuse the land, then the land won't be able to provide for you. You see what I mean?
The way I look at things, everything, every action has equal reaction to this. And if you abuse the land in an action, okay, and you constantly abuse this land in an action, the Earth Mother is going to act back.
Yeah. And that's
so every action has that reaction.
So
even through nature does that.
I've watched on this piece of property that I'm on right now, I watched it sort of evolve from, you know, like a sickened piece of land that somebody at one point decided they was going to use it quite literally for a dump, you know, throwing junk everywhere and, you know, just barely making a mess. And there were thorn trees galore, you know, and everything was overgrown and it just, it was a mess. But after years of, you know, working alongside nature and, you know, trimming out things and cleaning up things, I've watched this, this piece of land, you know, transform into a beautiful piece of property. And
right.
nature did the work. I mean, I helped clean up, but as far as, you know, when you're using something, nature will leave you alone and help you out if you do it respectfully. But when you abuse that same deal, you see quite the opposite. You see what I mean?
Well, if you watch something, let's just say watch a certain farmer. Just say a certain farmer. And he takes a piece of land, but he constantly grows only one crop on it.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, saying, okay, say wheat one year and corn the next year or tobacco one year, whichever. If you constantly just plant one crop every year and not rotate this, it actually kills the land you're working on, so your crop's not that bad.
It takes all the nutrients out of the soil and basically depletes it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's something that farmers had learned by rotating their crops. Nature worked with them, you know, because certain plants only require certain minerals and other plants require certain minerals, but they both require some of the same minerals. And
yeah.
if you deplete that land and if you're not working back to keep it, that's why they started using things like anhydrous ammonia and stuff like that to put nitrogen in the soil, which would have been there naturally by other processes. And so, you know, if you learn those kind of things of, you know, the chemistry of the earth or whatever, science can help you treat that doggone land like it should have been treated all along. So, you know, that's the way it seems to go. But nonetheless, opportunity. That's the word I was looking for.
Opportunity.
Amazing opportunity right now. We're standing at a crossroads of where humanity is going to end up in the future. And by allowing the representation like we've seen in the past, because their track record stinks, by allowing them to just do what they do and always trusting that they always have our best interest at heart, we are basically consenting and you know, letting them run roughshod over us and everything we need to survive.
Now let me just go here for a second, and then we're going to go with as far as putting solar panels on your house. Let me go here for just a second, because I actually did hear this I think yesterday, so I want your opinion on this, if you don't mind, Shaziz, if that's okay. Let me see. Jeff Sessions actually stated that it is a biblical law, okay, and that you can't take children away from their parents at the border, but it's a biblical law. I don't know about that. But he did state that God ordained government, so you have to always, you know, the people have to, you know, just go with whatever the government's saying, because God ordained the government.
Well, that didn't come from any of my teachings.
I don't know what he means by that.
No, I don't either.
But to get away from that situation, which I'm not going to get into, because that was the stupidest thing I ever heard anybody say. But here's what the problem. You have some people. Now, Patty Walking Turtle and has actually brought this up, and I did hear this, that if everybody, and this is what somebody actually said, if everybody put solar panels on their house, they'd be heated by the sun, okay, is that pretty soon the sun will run out of power.
Yeah, that's just
and
crazy.
Some people actually believe that.
Oh, it don't surprise me none at all. I mean, this whole global warming / climate change craziness, you'd be surprised how many people out there think that that's the real deal. You know, the sun ain't going to run out of power. The earth isn't going to run out of water, and everything that we have been provided is in such great abundance that if used properly and respectfully, we'd all have everything we needed provided for us. You know, sure, we're going to have to maybe get out and do a little bit of work and stuff and try to be, you know, respectful to nature as we're gathering up our crops and such. But what we mentioned earlier about that corn, if you use that corn properly, there ain't no waste. There's so many different things that you could do with the portions that you don't eat that, you know, like biofuel. You can make biofuel out of the parts that you don't eat. You can make all different types of fibers from this stuff. And there's so many different... It seems like no matter what you use on Earth, even though you think it's gone, it's just changed forms. You see what I mean?
What,
nature recycles everything.
Earth is involved.
Yeah.
It evolves. Okay? In other words, if something's messing up, the earth will evolve to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying?
It's an amazing, as far as I'm concerned, it's an amazing creation. You know, it's a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator. It's got so much to offer, and we can utilize, like, for example, the hydroelectric dams. You know, if you actually really go look into it, the modern day ones have provided ways for, you know, fish to get around safely or whatever. You know, it's not like completely interfering with nature. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. Okay, is that man is always bothering nature.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We think, mankind seems to think they're over nature, and some people actually think they're over the creator, and that don't get it.
No, Well, see, there's even problems with dams. You know, at some point in time, nature always takes back whatever you, even if you're using it, you know, over time, nature will take it back. When you stop using it, nature will take it back faster.
But yes.
There are things that we could do differently instead of having to have hydroelectric dams and, you know, build these big concrete structures that hold back the water, be able to allow the water to run freely and still be able to generate electricity, you know. The thermoelectrics is amazing. Once you understand what they call the Seebeck effect, where you like take two different types of metals and you put them together and you heat one side and cool the other side, it'll continuously produce electrical charge. So there's yes. ways that you can build a homemade, the equivalent of a homemade solar panel, just out of a, let's say maybe a zinc strip and a copper strip. You could take those two and connect them at one end, fold them in half, and you know, keep one side cool and the other side be in direct sunlight, and that heat, you know, using a material that absorbs a lot of heat, like maybe a piece of rubber over the top of those two, it'll transfer that heat energy into electrical power and work just like a solar panel, you know?
Absolutely.
So, see, you don't even have to really tamper with nature to do that.
See, Shaziz, right there, you just did something. In other, what I'm saying is, everything that you're saying on this show, okay, and what you have been trying to do is actually showing people what you can do.
Yeah.
If you know, and you're helping people with that. So, you know, that's people that can do these things, and people that don't know how, that they listen to this, and maybe you're helping somebody in that one aspect. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. And even things that we use and then they get to the point where we can't use them, like an old car tire, you know. That car tire, it's not waste. There's still uses for that car tire. You could actually turn that car tire into a thermal electric generator, just like I mentioned with the two dissimilar metals. You know, you put them down because, you know, when that tire is setting out in the sun, because of its color and the way that it's made, it will absorb a lot of heat. And you
yes.
can transfer that heat into energy. So even after it's no longer good for your vehicle, it's still good for something, you know?
Well, you know, you take these old car tires also, you can actually build houses from them.
Yeah. They got some of them they call earth ships, where they take and build out of old car tires. They'll fill them up with dirt and, you know, make a doggone house. It's pretty incredible stuff. But nonetheless, it just one tiny example of many examples of all the things that we throw away in the trash. You don't have to keep going out digging up more copper or you know, materials to make copper or anything like that, or even aluminum for that matter. There's enough in the dumps already that, if properly recycled, you know, you can make new fresh products with, or even repurpose it.
I have to give my wife Windstar a whole lot of credit here, and I'm talking, you know, like as far as self-sustaining from the Earth Mother, okay?
Yeah.
She goes out to the thistles, takes the flowers from that, and then makes jam out of that. She actually has learned how to make her own washing detergent for the, you know, to wash your clothes with. She can actually make her own bread, so where you don't have to go to the store and buy that. So really, we're becoming a little bit closer and closer to self-sustaining, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what, you know what I'm saying?
So, you know, once again, what will it take to get the rest of the world out there to come to the realization that everything we needed is provided for us? It kind of seems to me, and I hate to say it, but if you kind of step back and look at it, the people have not only become complicit, or they become lazy, you know, they don't want to learn. Why would I want to learn? You know, all I got to do is go to the store and buy, you know, my food and stuff like that. It's already done, and they're comfortable with the fact that they'll go out and they'll work and provide a service for somebody else, and then all they got to do is go to the store and buy, you know, whatever they need. from the store. But what happens the day that the store ain't able to provide that anymore? They choose themselves out of the survival skills that your culture had been passing on for generations prior. Right. You see what I mean?
Let's look at how we act, how some of us in the old day actually did raises corn, okay? Now, of course, you need some kind of fertilizer, right?
Yeah.
So what they would do, they would take, like, they would dig the hole to plant the seed in. But they would actually put fish in the hole.
Yeah.
Okay, and then put the seed in and then cover it up. The fish become, as it deteriorates, becomes a fertilizer.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You know.
So that's nature, too. Nature is helping nature help you.
Yeah. I never rake up grass clippings. You know, some people that live in the city, that they have grass bags to grab off the lawnmower to store up the bags or to store up the grass. But not just me, but my neighbor he rakes them up, but he wants to use them for compost for his garden. I basically mm-hmm. leave it there to allow nature to turn this back into new soil and new fertilizer for the land, and you can see a big difference because your land will become greener every year. It looks better.
Yeah.
Just by allowing nature to do what nature does best. Recycling.
Well, you know, some of us, what we're doing is allowing. In other words, we're allowing the grass and the flowers to grow a little bit more without being cut.
Yeah.
Because the bees are disappearing.
Yeah.
You know? So basically, we're trying to keep the bees alive, because if they go, we may have maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, bees.
If you see what I'm saying,
bees are what pollinates all the planets from tree to tree and plant to plant.
Exactly.
And so you know they're out there working to provide for their family, in the process doing a service for everybody else out by pollinating and making things grow better.
So naturally, Susie, is what I'm saying, is everything that is alive on the planet. All right. Is here for a reason of that circle of life.
Yep. When things get out of whack.
And anything that dies from this circle, that only means the circle of life is broken and you can die yourself.
Yeah. We have a symbiotic relationship with this earth. You know, we need it, and basically, it really doesn't need us, but you see what I mean? But we do need the earth to survive, you know, and even when we're breathing out, we breathe in fresh oxygen and we breathe out CO2, and that exhaled air is then cleaned up by the plants, which in turn give us back fresh oxygen. So we're feeding the plants, and plants are feeding us, and done like we said earlier, done respectfully. We have a great relationship with nature, and nature will treat us really well. I mean, look at fruit trees. Fruit trees are amazing.
Yes, they are.
They not only give you food, but they also provide a new seed to grow more food.
I can say it like this. An elder once stated that the tree and the human being, okay, pretty much have the same DNA, okay? But here's what I'm saying about this. If you think about what you just said, what me and you just said is that when that tree exhales, we inhale.
Yep.
We exhale, that tree inhales.
Yep.
Okay, so the trees and us are breathing for each other.
Yeah.
Now, if you cut all the trees down, what do you think's going to happen to you?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We need these We need these life-giving forces just like they need us to some extent, but I think that nature, even without man, would be just fine. But nonetheless, if we paid attention in science class and basically the school of nature, it's already showed us how to get abundance, how to work with nature, and you know, be able to grow massive amounts of food to feed large populations of people.
True.
You know, it drives me insane because I always hear people talking about food shortages out there in this world. There shouldn't be no reason for food shortages. There's more land. There's some people, you know, I live on 16 acres of land, but I choose to share it, you know, to the resources so that people can benefit from it. I just get the luxury of being able to have a big place to run around on without having to get trespassed or whatever. So, you know, to me, that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working with nature down here, and I got fish on my property. There's wildlife that run around, and all different types of berries and nuts and fruits, and you know, like wild onions and mint and stuff like that. But I would never got this knowledge had I not had access to this thing we call the internet. You know, because it's like a big giant library if you use it properly.
What you call the web, okay, the web, I'm talking about the internet.
Yeah.
The Hopi actually call it the great dream catcher. Okay?
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, that's what it is. World Wide Web, what is the web? What do you put in the dream catcher? The web, right?
Yeah.
Like the spider web. If you think about it, that's where we learn it. Bring this stuff all together too.
Well, it gives us the opportunity to talk where otherwise you live in a different state than I do, and we may never have had the luxury of being able to meet each other, but now we can take both of our minds and put them together to troubleshoot issues that need to be resolved in the world. And by bringing,
which is this, the way I look at that is that this made me and you a very good close friend.
Yep.
You have always been a good close friend to me.
I feel the same, brother.
And I thank you for that. But I'm going to say this real quick for you, because this was actually a shock a little bit. So I'm going to throw this out to you. It was been about, maybe 4 or 5 days now. But the 70th flag that we just received was South Korea.
Wow.
So we do hold that now.
That's cool, and it's still maybe it's coming along slowly, but it's getting there, and that's the way it works.
Everything is in Creator's time, not ours.
Yep. So I keep asking questions out here on the Mad Science Show. Stephen posted a really cool picture in there where he's got a guy with a mask that's got a little chamber over the last tree on Earth, and he's breathing. And I just have to go to the chat room if you ain't been there and take a look at it. It's pretty cool. But it says, a sculpture of post-human breathing from the last tree on Earth by Vladimir D. Thaser. When the last tree is cut, the last fish is caught, and the last river is polluted. When to breathe the air is sickening, you will realize too late that wealth is not in bank accounts and that you can't eat money.
Exactly.
Yeah, you should see that picture. I'm going to save that to my favorite there. That's pretty cool.
You know, that's the point. And when everything is gone, then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What do you got? Not.
That's it. Thanks, Stephen, for providing that picture. That's brilliant. Stephen always comes up with some of the most brilliant pictures and information. I love that guy. Anyway, let's see. Somebody's texting me here. Oh, okay. Well, Barbara, if you're listening out there, I tried to explain the beginning of the show. We had a couple issues of Beverly's parents, we had to go up and try to nurse them back to health, and on the way back to our place to go get Beverly some you know, medical treatment the next day. We got hit by a big pickup truck, which totaled my car out and basically hit us so incredibly hard that it ripped my driver's seat completely out of the floor. And, you know, pretty much destroyed my car. But the miracle is that my wife and I are not paralyzed or worse. And so,
I'm glad you're all right. I'm glad your family's okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was a scary day for all of us. But nonetheless, I believe we had somebody looking out for us. Because if you take a look at that car and you see the shape that it's in, it's... we're a walking miracle. That's the way I feel about it. But that's where I've been. That's what the message was, that we had an emergency family issue was with her father. And then once we went down there and got that under control, then that's when the accident happened. And so that's why I haven't been here. But we're back. So there you go. And so, anyway, what's it going to take, man?
Well, what I think, you know, is that there's a whole lot of people in this world that are waking up to what is reality here, you know, and trying to get back to nature. But you know how mankind is.
Yeah.
Some people won't take.
Sorry about that. I just added Barbara in there. Had that little short
delay. Sometimes the way humans can be, they don't take it. So what do? You know,
well,
you just
have that's the whole thing. There's kind of like that old saying: you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But
exactly.
I'm just saying that as long as we keep this knowledge flowing to one another, it's going to be a resource available when people do finally decide to wake up to you know, what's going on in the world. I think we're standing at a crossroads and we got an amazing opportunity that we could actually benefit all of society, the whole entire world, by, you know, bringing these designs and information and, you know, knowledge to other nations that, you know, aren't as fortunate. You know, if you think about it, they said that, and that's probably a documentary that was done in 98, but they said back then that there was at least 2 billion people that don't have access to fresh water and medicines and, you know, electricity, you know, the luxuries of life, what some people would classify as third world nations or whatever, which is a shame to me because I think that every nation should be rose up equally out there. We have so much abundance that has been provided to us by nature, and a few selfish ones feel like they want to utilize that in order to keep a power structure going that isn't really doing us any good. You know, it's sad to say, but that's the truth. Hi, Barbara.
Well, hey there. I'm so glad you're safe. Yeah, we were kind of worried about you. We have like 2 missing persons here, Patty and you.
did you find Patty?
Patty came back to Earth. Yeah, and it was getting to be a long, long concerning absence. And I have to say, even with you, just that one last weekend, less you know, Sunday no-shows is, and Patty for I don't know several weeks, and there was a void that I have to say, it was felt by everyone. You know, you guys are so important in our lives, you know, and everybody that shows up on this, on the People for People and .ning.com. I have to get the com in there. Yeah, I mean, it was a big, a feeling that is like not a comfortable feeling. It's like, wow, you know, people are in your life, you come to know them, you come to love them, you come to appreciate them, and boom, suddenly they're gone. I mean, no, nothing, no sign, no nothing, just, you know, gone. And it's not a good feeling. So, yeah, we were very concerned for, you know, both of you, wondering what the heck is going on. I tried to call Patty, I emailed her, well, she was not around. Nobody had a live computer, I guess, in her world. And for you, wow, I mean, wow, I have no words. That's just, you were definitely blessed, watched over.
Oh yeah, gosh. Because if you take a look at what that car looks like, it's just a miracle. By rights, I probably should have not been here today. And
you got bumped up, and
my neck got stretched back so hard that I actually rode the ambulance to the doctor's office because I needed to ensure that my neck wasn't broke. Because if you look at my car, he hit us with such force that it literally ripped my driver's seat completely out of the floorboard.
Wow, that's... Wow. Yeah. And everybody else... Who was with you?
Just me and my wife.
And she's okay?
Yeah, we're just... we're really seriously stiff. Sore.
I bet you are.
Somehow or another... Most of that inertia from that impact transferred over to my side of the car. There was a point where we was actually kind of sideways, and I was trying to steer into the skid to keep from running over the flagman. And so most of that impact, I'm glad that I had to absorb it on my side because my wife has other issues that she didn't need to be, you know, that hard.
So you were stopped?
Yeah, we were at a dead stop. He hit us hard that he knocked us nearly 100 feet past the flagman.
Wow. You know, that happened to me. I was stopped at a red light in a rainstorm, and some truck rammed into the back of me. It's a whiplash, a sacrum issue, a whole thing. My head hit somehow. I was dizzy. I couldn't talk right.
Then you got a pretty good idea of what it was like that day.
Yeah. Yes. It's not a fun thing. And, you know, it's interesting because it's like I've been more alert on the road recently because people have been driving really crazy. People have been angry, rushing around and pushing through and passing and impatient and
And he also told the state highway patrol guy that he didn't see no signs because there were signs all the way down through there that was saying be prepared to stop because there's a flagman ahead.
He didn't see those signs.
No, apparently not. But he didn't.
Wow.
He didn't hit his brakes until he was right up on us. So we took pretty much the full force of his forward momentum, and he's in a big old Chevy Silverado when I'm in a, you know, Mitsubishi Mirage.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's what the situation was. I had a little Subaru and this truck, you know, a pickup truck, but one of those big, heavy pickup trucks come just smashing right in the back of me. I was, you know, totally unprepared. But I'm just saying that people are not paying attention. I think we have to be really alert.
Oh, yeah.
What do they say? Drive defensively. And, well, you know, so Gaz is insisting that I tell everybody that Gaz was on the spot.
Yay!
Gaz kept saying, don't worry, Patty will be back. Don't worry, Patty will be back. And I said, for a while there I was. But then 3 weeks going by and I'm saying, well, I was just feeling, because Patty and I speak every day.
Yeah.
And more than, you know, we go down those rabbit holes together. We spend hours together every day talking, and we're that partners, you know, the partnership that you have, two crazy people of the same ilk. Yeah. And when you're missing one part of that, it's a big void, like I said, but... Yes, so Gaz was on it. Gaz was the one who he wants everybody to know. He's psychic, you know?
See, and that's another cool thing is we all kind of keep an eye out for each other and keep each other calm and all that kind of stuff. That's what these networks are best for.
Well, yeah. And the other thing is, you know, Patty and I, a couple of years ago, were talking about when everything goes down, how are we going to communicate with each other? So Patty said, well, she's got a ham radio. So she said, I'll give you my whatever, ham handle, what is it called? I don't know the ham handle. She said, I said, well, I don't have a ham radio. She said, well, you ride around your neighborhood, and when you see a huge, tall antenna, You know those people have a ham radio. Knock on their door. Those ham radio operators are really friendly. They'll just invite you in, and you just give me a call. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to find a ham radio? Is this happening, you know? So, but, yeah, everybody's back. And it is a, oh, yeah, the call sign. Grizz says it's a call sign. So, ham operators, everybody, get your ham radio, because when the who hits the fan, okay, so when the hoo-hoo-ha, whatever we want to call it, some people...
yes.
Some people say something else, but when the poop hits the fan, how are we going to communicate with each other? And I said, well, I think we're all going to go back to the telepathic communication that we all originally had to begin with. Our ancestors never had... you know, telephones or computers or didn't even have paper or pen. And, yeah, you learn how to communicate or feel or sense whatever's going on. But, you know, there is that instinct we all have, right? And
yeah.
So, yeah, Two Dog, we had smoke signals, though, right?
Oh, definitely. We actually had smoke signals that actually told exactly what's going on and how, and they did it. So it's like taking that da 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 da, you know,
the SOS. Oh, the telegraph, right?
Yeah, but it
Morse
was like
code.
Morse code.
Smoke signal. We actually, it's a certain way that they did this that told you exactly what was going on. And we knew.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's other cultures who had the drum. I mean, we had the drum too, but we didn't use it that way but in other cultures, they had their communications through the drum. You could hear the drums, right, go through the valleys, and there were certain ways, just like a Morse code, right, that you beat that drum, and it sent the message.
Exactly.
So... But, you know, it's interesting because about mother's instincts and about you feel your child, right? Your child's in trouble. Something's going on with your child and you just feel it, right? There's so many stories about that. I mean, in general, a lot of people have that. You say, oh, you know, you're coming into my mind and here you are. You're just writing me. I haven't heard from you for months and here you are. Just connecting with me or calling me. You've been on my mind. I've been thinking about you. I have this connection with my older son. Every time I think of him really strongly, it doesn't fail. Every time this happens, he calls me. Mom, I'm thinking of you. So it's like this thing we have with each other, you know. We feel each other. We want to communicate with each other. So when the poop hits the fan, I guess we all have to maybe make an agreement with each other. When all the system goes down and we can't just call each other up or get on Skype or whatever, how are we going to know everybody's okay? How are we going to know, you know, how are we going to communicate, you know, right?
Yeah, I talked about a long time ago, there's a old technology that could actually be used to basically keep sort of a wireless internet. You know, you mentioned ham radios. The only thing that these computers are looking for is the screes and blees like you used to hear in your old style modems. You know, every time you get on the internet, you'd hear that scree, scree, blee, blee, or whatever. Well,
really?
Yeah. All there.
Oh
looking.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I know exactly what
yeah,
you're
that
saying.
Noise. So well, I do remember that.
All they're looking for, all the computer's looking for, is those, and then translate those into ones and zeros. That basically is the programming of the computer. So it doesn't matter how those screes and blees actually get there. You can send them wirelessly over old CB radios, over, basically power lines that would have otherwise been down. You know, if there's no break in there, you'd send it like an old telegraph signal. And with the old ham radio sets and stuff like that, there was a deal that they used to call an acoustic coupler, which was one of the first style modems out there. And basically you'd take that old receiver earpiece that was on your phone, and you'd set that down on there, and then it would transfer those tones into digital, and the computer could call, you know, other computers. So if you had an acoustic coupler and a computer at your house, I could dial your phone number and, you know, send that information back and forth to you. In reality, if anybody could tap into the line anywhere down along the line, they could also pick up that signal. And with those old style, technologies, we would still be able to have an internet even if the original internet went down. You see what I'm saying? If you understand how, you know, electricity travels and the waves and all that kind of stuff, it's just like sending those smoke signals that you guys talked about. You know, when you're dotting and dashing, just like Morse code, that's how the computer can pick this up. And when you send a electrical signal down a power line or something like that, it just needs to be able to transfer those electrical signals back into data again. It's ridiculously simple when you get down to the basics of it.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So if you wanted to get a message to somebody during a post-apocalyptic deal and you already had it pre-planned ahead of time that you could have a backup system for a backup system, you could either send it out wirelessly over, you know, a ham radio, and then your receiver on the way back would be like the other side of your modem that's bringing that signal back to you. You see what I mean? You're going to transmit on two separate frequencies, transmit on one frequency and receive on another frequency, so that you get real-time transfer of information back and forth to each other.
Okay.
It sounds hard. It sounds hard, but it's not.
I don't know. Okay, I take it when you say it. You're the scientist. Well, I just know about telepathy. That's my field of expertise.
Well, that's how your brain's doing it. Your brain's sending it out in different wavelengths.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, we're all sending out wavelengths.
Yeah.
Like we talk about the frequency and the energies that we are, we're constantly sending out frequencies through emotion and words and thought. How powerful that is, you know. So, yeah, that is the original technology, I guess you could say.
Well,
how do you
figure that when you're sitting next to somebody you've been with most of your life, like your significant other, and you're answering their questions before they ever even, you know, audibly say it with their mouth, you know,
yeah,
you already know what they're getting ready to say, and you answer the question, you know. So
that's true.
That's what's going on there. You're
how amazing we are connected like that with all this energy waves, frequency waves, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I'm in the car with my wife and I say something even silly to my own self, and you know not to look over there because she's kind of looking at you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a telepathy thing. You're not going to look over there because you know you done did it.
Well, proof of what you two are talking about is we spoke about this on a Mad Science show here a while back, where they were sending waveforms out for a billboard where it doesn't have an audible speaker. It's sending it into a frequency wave that your brain can interpret. And you're hearing somebody talk when there's no speaker or anybody around. You see what I mean? So if you can do it one way, you can do it the other way.
Yeah, so have you ever had a thought come into your mind about something? Like I have a friend of mine, but I've had this experience too. You may know what I'm talking about. So these are particularly things when you're driving along and you get a feeling to slow down.
Yeah.
Or you get a feeling suddenly to be alert or whatever, you know. So a friend of mine, she was riding along and she got a strong message about slow down, okay, really strong. So she slowed down and there was a car stopped on the side of the road with its lights blinking like emergency lights, and she thought, well, maybe that was it. But as she went on, she continued to have this really strong feeling, slow down. And as she came to a stoplight, and she started to move out because everybody else was stopped, somebody ran through their stoplight and nearly clipped her, and she felt, well, that was the signal that the something was giving her this signal to slow down due to this particular upcoming situation that could be, you know, threatening, life-threatening.
Yeah, if she'd have been there a second earlier, she would have got hit.
Exactly. So, you know, I always say to people when they complain, oh, there was this that slowed me down or I had to wait in traffic because of that. I said, maybe there was a reason for that. You know, like maybe you were being slowed down for a reason. You know, we have to look at these kinds of things, right?
Yep.
Well, so those waves, so here's the question. So I'm bringing this up because it's a mystery, right? I think we're talking about mysteries. Like, so Grizz said ham radios do not use satellites, but frequency, and they use propagation effects that are received in transmission.
Yeah.
So how do you explain frequency waves? How do you explain to people this telepathy? How do you explain this connectedness? So she was getting a message to slow down, okay, because of this upcoming situation that could have been life-threatening. What is that? You see, that's the question. That's the mystery. You know, what is it that you get this feeling, don't go there, and then you heard that, oh, if I had gone there, this would have happened, and that would not have been good. That's the mystery. That's what I call the mystery. But it's a telepathic communication somehow. But who's telling you that this is a possible, this is going to happen, this car is going to run through traffic light or stop sign, and if you're in the way, you're going to be hit.
Well,
right?
It's definitely amazing. Had a few incidents like that, and quite a few incidents like that in my lifetime. But, you know, for people just to have an understanding of what frequency is, all you got to do, get you out a little bowl and put some water in that bowl and tap your finger on it.
Right? Yeah.
You'll see those ripples, and they go out in every direction for a full 360.
Well, we can see the ripples. You see, we see the water rippling. That tells you something, but If you look, well, I call it seeing without looking, because it's a frequency, it's waves, it's the threads, the filaments of the frequencies, or the filaments of the waves of energy that are exuding from everything.
Yeah.
Everything, right?
Well, even the beat of your heart sending out waves. You know, every time,
right.
Every time your mind sends an electrical signal down to your heart, you know, there's a reaction that occurs, and you're actually transmitting at that point in time. It's kind of strange how animals, they always know when you're sick, you know? They got the senses, and they always know when you're bummed out or you don't feel good or whatever. And they come basically there and soothe you, you know?
Well, now there's animals actually that they are using for people who have epileptic or heart issues, epilepsy, where that animal, it's mostly dogs, but cats have this amazing ability as well to know. But dogs have signaled, now these dogs are signaling the person that they're going to have an episode.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Gives them a warning ahead of time and stays there to protect them while they're going through it and all that. It's amazing.
Well, then you have the whales and the dolphins communicating through their signature frequencies, right?
Yep. See,
and look what, go ahead.
That's what amazes me, that people in this world haven't realized the power that each of them have within inside them. And if you take that power and you put it together like this round table we got right now, we're putting out some really good information, and we're basically bouncing off of each other, but most generally you already know what I'm going to say before I finish it, because, you know, we're on
the same page. They call it, we're on the same wavelength, right? They use those words because it's real. We're on the same wavelength, right?
Yeah.
We use that expression, you know? But you also have the vibration of our voice, you know, the frequency of the voice, even the mind, the brain, the thoughts have that frequency, waves of energy, you know? And now we have this thing we call toning.
Yep.
A lot of people know toning. What toning does, when you do the toning, there's seven chakras, and you can do the seven chakras toning. What it does is it balances your inner organs, various organs or parts of your chakra points. It realigns them and balances them and creates health and harmony and so on throughout the whole body, you know.
Well, with that said, just the tone of how you convey a message to somebody has an effect on those people, you know, whether it be like just... making them happy or angry.
Impact.
You see what I mean?
It has words have an impact beyond our comprehension. That's for sure.
Maybe that's the key right there. You know, I ask, what will it take, you know, to get this world, you know, to start working together or whatever, you know, to basically, it's communication. What we're doing
right now. Definitely.
It's all due to communication. So if you're going around every single day and you're putting out positive vibrations to the world, that's got to be a plus. You know?
Well, I'll tell you this story, this amazing story I heard years ago. This group of people, I think I heard it on NPR, was riding in a car. I was listening to NPR, and this group of people for 4 years... They made an agreement that for 4 years they would do this, study this and see what would happen. They got connected with different people in different parts of the world in big cities like New York, I guess it was Manhattan, London, Japan, and some other country. I can't remember what it was. And they made dates and the times that would be synchronized where they would sit down together with a group of people and they would focus on love and light and peace, right?
Yeah.
Just that. And they started taking studies and documenting various things within those cities. So what they documented was police calls, murders, violence, accidents, and so on and so forth, right?
Yep.
And they noticed every time they did this. Now, they did this study for 4 years. They had no instruments, no nothing. It was just them sitting there in a circle, holding the space, calming themselves, and focusing on love and peace and healing and so on. That was their, basically the, what they were doing. And they noticed that there were drops in emergency calls, drops in violence and murder in the police station, and they also noticed that the Dow went up. I was like, wow, so people feel good, right? You know, you feel some energy, you feel good, you feel positive, because these people were putting out this frequency of peace and love, and it was a powerful experiment. For 4 years they did this. That alone tells us, that should tell us that we have an amazing, extraordinary gift and power to change things, you know. And I was told, I guess over 30 years ago, about how important our frequency, our thoughts, our words, and emotions are, because these affect the whole sacred web. And that's what I was given to work with people. And the other thing is, there's things about the human that, let's call it interruptive. It interrupts something positive. Of course, what interrupts something positive?
Something negative?
That's right. Now, let's say you're manifesting. You know, manifesting is like you're calling in, or we call it luring, or manifesting something positive in your life, right? I mean, people give classes in manifestation. Do you want to have wealth? You want to have prosperity? You want to find a partner? You want to get married? Whatever it is. So they do these manifesting teachings, right, or manifestations. Now, it's interesting about manifestation, because I learned that when you speak verbally, when you speak, but also we're speaking in other ways. We're speaking with our emotions. But who are we speaking to? We're speaking to the universe, because the universe is all also magnetic frequencies, waves, and so on. When you throw that pebble in the calm water, it reflects and emanates outward from that point, right?
Yep.
And everything around is basically touched by that energy. So we ourselves are that central point of energy and frequency. So what we think about we manifest. What we believe in, we manifest, because the universe listens, it's alert to a varying frequencies of energy, thought, emotion, word, action. So the response, like they say, you get what you, what goes around comes around, yeah. And what you believe in, you create, what you focus on, you manifest, and so on. Now here's the conundrum or the issue that we have to pay attention to. Because within us, we have these thought patterns, or I call it the monkey mind. Well, let's just focus on the monkey mind for now. So the monkey mind has a mind of its own, and it just spews out a bunch of garbage constantly. And it gets alert when you say something positive, because it has its own, it's like, you know, the what we call the trickster, right, Two Dog? We have what we call the trickster?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us what the trickster is. Explain what the trickster is.
Well, the trickster, you know, with the coyote. We had the trickster with the coyote and the black widow, kind of like the black widow spider. The spider, the Atomi, okay? In other words, the coyote can also be a helper, but a trickster too.
Right.
In other words, this trickster will show you things. Make it look like it's good,
yep.
And then turn around and do the opposite. So a trick, you know, that's pretty much what. And to me, that's pretty much what a trickster is. It shows you all this positivity stuff, and you get to that positivity, but they turn it to their, you know, to what they want.
Yeah, it's the trick. So the trickster, basically, what Two Dogs just said. It's sort of like the trickster is a joker, all right? It's like an Ectomy.
Yeah.
It's like they play you, right? So there's the positive. Yeah, there's the positive and negative there. They're giving you the positives, and then they'll slam you with the negative if you're not alert. It's like, and then they, you know, basically we say, well, coyote is laughing at the human folly. When are these people going to wake up? When are these people going to stop falling in the same hole? When are they going to stop slamming into the same wall? Right? You're going along thinking, I'm fine, right? But the trickster is like saying, oh yeah, guess what? They don't see that pothole. They don't see that wall. There they go again. You know? So they'll play you like that. So that's the trickster.
I can add to this, Barb, just a second now. With the Chiricahua, I used to hear this. And the Chiricahua used to say, the Apache used to say, what man has done, coyote's done first.
That's true. Yeah, it sets you up. Coyote sets you up. You're either going to get it or you're going to fail again.
Yes.
So this is why we say, you know what? If you keep falling in that same pothole, in other words, if you keep having a relationship that winds up where you are, you know, shaking your head going, what? Again? Why do I keep, why are these people in my life? Why do these same people keep coming into my life where it goes wrong? But that's coyote medicine, we call it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're missing the message. You keep falling in that pothole. You keep hitting that same brick wall. You keep calling those same people to you. And coyote's rolling all over the place laughing because, when are you going to wake up, right? So we have that trickster, I call it the monkey mind, but the trickster inside of ourself, okay, will disrupt anything positive, right? It's sort of like a test, I guess you could say. How much do you really believe that you deserve? We could go there. How much do you really believe that you deserve good things, that you deserve love, that you deserve, you know, to be treated kindly and respectfully? You know, if you say, well, I want to have a relationship. That's what I want. I want a relationship. But you keep finding these people across your path that are not nice people, you know? So that's your issue. Why do you keep calling that? Why, what is that? So there's something hidden inside of us. So when you're doing manifesting, remember now it's a wave, a frequency wave of positivity. You are speaking that. Like, let's say that you've been diagnosed with some terminal illness or some illness or something bad, you've been diagnosed with it, and that's the authority just told you that. The authority's told you, well, sorry, you know, that they have that particular way. And so now you go sit with somebody who says, well, I can help you to manifest better health, you know, and well-being, because we have a power inside of ourselves that what we believe in, we manifest, we create. Do you believe in that?
Well, I do.
Do you believe in that?
Yeah.
You do, right?
Yeah, there's words in a specific book that a lot of people despise, but if you actually listen to those words, it sounds just like what you said, you know.
Believe in the mustard seed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know we all believe that. So why I'm saying this is there are some people who say, yeah, I believe in that, but inside there's another something, like the monkey mind or some old pattern that says, what? I don't believe in that. That's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. So you've got two things going on here inside of yourself as a human being. You've got the positive and you've got the negative, right? I mean, that's across the board in everything. Dark, light, positive, negative, yin, yang.
Yep.
So we have that within ourselves. So if you say, okay, I'm going to sit with this teacher, this teacher is going to help me to manifest health, okay, even though you've just been told by some doctor that you aren't healthy, something's wrong. So you go to this counselor, this teacher, and they say, okay, here, you're going to sit down, here's what you do, you sit there quietly, you take some deep breaths, you get yourself calmed down in your center, now you're going to start saying manifestations or positive affirmations is what I'm talking about. So here's how you manifest. You have to speak clearly to the universe because the universe is listening, and guess what? The universe is listening to the frequency waves that you're putting out and also responding accordingly to those waves. You get it?
Yep. You know, I mentioned my mother or my father-in-law, my wife has been up there taking care of them. They've had some serious health problems. She's recovering from a stroke, and he's recovering from a couple surgeries that he had to have. And they like really had a really bad run of luck. Got the flu and a bunch of stuff all in one shot. And so she spent the last 6 months nursing him back to health. Well, after the third surgery, they said that graft that they put in his leg wasn't working right, and so he wasn't getting blood circulation to his foot, and if he didn't, you know, have another surgery, there's a good chance he could lose his leg and potentially his life. Well, because he went through three surgeries already, and of course they were drawn out and painful, he didn't want to go through a fourth surgery. And so our only option was to try to use natural medicines to heal him, you know, using science and stuff. So knowing that they live on a piece of property where there's natural well water, that well water right there has a lot of nutrients and minerals that are, you know, have healing with them. We did the best that we could. We started using a whirlpool, which was one of the things the doctors don't like using because they say you're, you know, possibly introducing fresh bacteria to it. But we kept the whirlpool clean, and we actually used the medicines they provided to wrap the wound up, and we watched the progress as every time we would change the Band-Aid, we'd put his leg in this whirlpool, so that water could flush away any, you know, bad stuff, and then, you know, redress it and wound it. And we actually watched as his foot began to, you know, start to heal.
Right.
And so when you ain't got access to the doctor and you understand a little bit about science and nature, that we did the best we could possibly do under the current circumstances without him going to, you know, back to the doctor.
Yeah, but I'm going to say you believed in that process. You see, there's the difference. And you didn't have anything that said this isn't going to work. You had to say this is like our chance here. This is our only chance. We believe in this. This is something that I believe will work.
Well,
but when
I also had to have faith for two because he...
Yes, well, that's faith.
He didn't believe that, you know, he thought he was going to lose his leg, and I kept trying to reassure him through this whole process, no, we're not going to allow you to lose your leg.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
You have to believe in a miracle for a miracle
to
happen.
That's exactly, what your words right there is what it's all about. You have to believe in this miracle. You have to have that faith. Faith is the power that's beyond our imagining.
Yeah.
So when you put out a positive affirmation and you say, in this circumstance, okay, my body is healthy, my immune system is functioning perfectly, is healthy, my body is healing, that's a positive affirmation, and that is a frequency, a wave of frequency that goes out and speaks to the universe. The universe responds to that very frequency, that it knows that frequency, because you are speaking it, it knows everything, all things are created already. So, but here's the conundrum that we deal with. If you have the monkey mind or an imprint that says, yeah, this is ridiculous, that's not going to work because the doctor, the authority, just said, well, sorry, you're really in bad shape and you're not going to make it. Now, when that goes out, when you say something positive, you have to be alert. So manifesting means you must be very precise and succinct, okay, with your intention. Your intention is very key. Your faith is very key. But there is an interruption that might happen, and that's what you have to pay attention to, because that interruption is like throwing a wrench in the works and basically disrupts and corrupts your positive affirmation.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't realize. Also, when you manifest, it must be in the now, in the moment. Like, I am healthy. My immune system is functioning perfectly. I am receiving the abundance and prosperity that, you know, the Creator has created for my highest good. Okay, it's not about, well, I hope to be healthy. I wish that I were healthy. I would love to have somebody in my life, hoping that they come around and they're really this and that. No, you have to say, I am experiencing a healthy, beautiful, wonderful relationship. You know, it's all about Creator. What Creator has for me for my highest good.
Yep. There's a deal out there that talks about water has memory.
And yes.
If you actually really look into it, it's pretty impressive. But all this time while I was, nursing his wound and everything like that, I could actually see it getting better. And just by communicating with him, look, it's looking better. The doctor said that he wasn't getting no circulation to his foot. Well, I studied enough first aid. I'm no doctor or anything, but I know enough about science and minerals and water and doing the best you can with what you got to work with, that what we were doing was the best. But the doctor said that he was pretty much going to lose his foot. And instead of allowing that to happen, you know, I know enough about first aid. Like, if you have to tie a tourniquet on somebody's leg, you've got to go in there every so often and release that, allow some of that blood to flow to get oxygen to that deal. So it's been over 10 or so days since they told him that he wasn't getting no circulation to that foot. And we're watching his toes and everything go pink, and, you know, they're not turning black and dying. And so I'm telling him, look, you can see there's obviously got to be blood flowing through that vein. Otherwise, you would have done losses. It wouldn't took when you lose the blood circulation to any part of your body, it doesn't take long. That body will begin to destroy itself. It'll die.
Right.
It needs
exactly
that oxygen.
Well, you have things. We have words like faith, trust, hope, believe. We believe in something, right?
Yeah.
All these are positives. And then we have the opposites, you know, doubt. Now, doubt, my teacher Wallace Buckup told me doubt is a disease. Doubt is one of the most powerful, you know, energies, you know, that will just pretty much take you down.
Yeah.
Doubt.
It will.
And so this is what we're talking about. We have amazing, extraordinary gifts that we were all given, and these have been basically kept from us, or we've been trained to doubt them, because this is hoodoo or voodoo, right?
That's another key point about this whole structure of system that we live in, is we've been told from the time that we started through the educational system of the government, that certain things aren't possible, you know, laws of physics or whatever. And so a lot of people have gotten so deep into science that becomes their belief system, and they don't believe that there's anything possible beyond that. When, in fact, if you pay attention to what we're saying about, you know, just water in itself, water is a miracle substance.
Well, you have what you talked about with water. So you see, water does have memory. What water has? Everything has its original essence or original memory of from creation, original creation. Everything and water has its. Of course, everything has a molecular structure, right?
Yep.
So when you start working with the water, in our culture, the indigenous culture, we knew this. There are songs, there are ceremonies, especially this women's ceremony that had been gifted back to us after 150 years of never, you know, not being taught, because that's how it happened. You know, you can't do your sacred ceremonies, and all these ancient knowledge was just thrown aside. So this particular water ceremony, it's called the Nibiwabo, and it's a song, it's a chant, and it's a women's medicine song, because women basically are the keepers of the water. Alright, so when this song is chanted, when we chant this song, we use birch bark, birch clappers it's called, they're birch sticks, and we use those for the sound, clapping them together, and we use this chant. And it goes on. Now, this particular ceremony was done from dusk till dawn. Okay? Dusk till dawn. That's how long this went on. But what happens is the cadence, the tone, and the whole quality of this chant, the sound of the clappers, the medicine of the birch, is a woman's medicine. Also, it's a water medicine. Changes the molecular structure back to its original memory. This is what we have known forever. Now you have people like Emoto, who came along, basically, who did this in a scientific way, okay, and proved what we already knew, okay, what the indigenous people already knew. And Emoto comes along and he proves this. We already knew it. Our people already knew this and used this for centuries and centuries and centuries. And this is the ancient wisdom that I am talking about. Now, this is a prophecy spoke about returning to the ways of the ancestors. And this is one of those pieces that they're talking about. Now, yes, Emoto was a scientist. He did this, testing this over and over and over again, testing it, visually showing people this is what happens. The molecular structure of this polluted water will return to its original harmony, its original balance, its original memory of that structure. The molecular structure changes before your eyes.
Yes,
now, of course, so Emoto became known for this, famous for this, but our people knew this. We've been using these ancient tools and methods because Creator gave it to us, and we kept these ways for centuries and centuries and millennia, and the cabal, the elite, the dominators attempted basically to destroy that. That's how that went.
Well, that's how they maintained their power structure, by keeping people in the dark about possibilities, you know.
Well, they kept us in the dark about how we could make a difference in the world, how we can create and manifest health. What do you think hands-on healing is about?
Yep.
Well, they call it now, they call it, what is it? Everybody's doing this, whatever, I can't even remember. It's certain degrees of healing method, but it's hands-on healing. It's ancient. We've known these ways. We've known what hands-on healing is. It's using energy. It's using frequency. It's your faith. It's the power that you have in that you are a vessel. You are a vessel. I'm not a healer, but the healing moves through me. If anybody claims they are a healer, turn around and walk away from them.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We are the vessels. Creator heals through us. You know, Great Spirit heals through us.
Yeah.
Okay, if we call it a hollow bone or a vessel, it's a clean hollow bone, the energy frequency will move through you from the source, which is Creator, Great Spirit. That's how that works. But now people say, oh, you take this class with me and you pay this amount of money and I'll show you how, I'll teach you, I'll show you how, you know, the healing is done. But we've been doing this, our people have been doing this from the beginning of time. Guess what? Creator gave us all this information. You didn't need to pay thousands of dollars to get this information.
Yeah, and so with that said, once again, nature's provided everything. Everything necessary. You know, and people want to argue with me about free energy, but it's most generally when it gets down to time for them to argue with me about free energy, it's always a play on words. It's always
Oh, I got the word Reiki. The word is Reiki. People are doing Reiki all over the place. Pay a lot of money for Reiki and you go through different levels. You have to take this class and you take the next class. Then you get level one, level two, blah, blah, blah. That's nothing new. We've been doing that from the beginning of time.
Yep.
But you pay, now you pay money. But this was, Creator gave you this gift already. You don't need to pay money.
Well,
I'm just saying.
That's the same thing. Same thing I've been explaining about energy this whole time was that we're
you don't have to pay a lot of money. You don't have to pay the electric company, right?
Yeah, we're floating in a sea of energy. All we got to do is tap into it, you know, respectfully and utilize that energy. You know, right now the power system that we've got is pretty much dirty electricity, quite literally, and we waste more energy than we actually use. And so,
well, people waste their energy too.
Yeah.
How do they waste their energy?
Well, one way is by running around talking negative all the time. Everything's
That's
terrible.
For sure.
You know,
that's for sure.
When I'm around somebody who's doing that, I start to sink. I have a physical.
Well,
reaction.
Get away from them. That's the whole point. Yeah. If you want to maintain your highest frequency for your health and your well-being and that of the world, that of the mother and all creation. You don't want to go near those people.
Well, I'm trying to figure out a way, and I think we're doing it the best we can with these shows to send that resonance out there to the world to give people, you know, a hope and at least give them something that they will pique their curiosity to look into all the different things that we've talked about. You know, in alternative energy, I've been begging for environmentalist groups to come here and, you know, just start throwing the questions out. I've been...
Well, you know what people are up against? Here's what people are up against, Shaz, is. People are up against the brainwashing program that says you can't do that.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what people are up against, is the authorities telling you that's nonsense, that's ridiculous, that's conspiracy, that's crazy, you're weird, you're nuts, that's woo-woo...
Yeah,
and it's evil, besides.
Yeah, to most out there, it's easier to submit to the government's propaganda than it is to try to stand against it, you know?
You know, guys, I can say it like this. Do you have water?
Yeah.
Do you have the sun?
There you go.
Do you have wind?
Right.
You got power.
Yep.
That's it. And even in circumstances where the wind ain't blowing or the sun ain't shining, you still got power. That's all.
I just saw this video where I don't know what country it was. People are doing stuff, really. They have these things on the highway. I don't know, it's maybe about 20 inches high, maybe about 5 to 6 inches round. It's got little, openings, cut into this structure, and it's constantly going around. Now, why is it going around? Because the traffic's going one way on one side of it, and the other side is going the opposite way. So you have, whatever you want to call that scientifically, you have this wind or this movement from vehicles going in opposite directions right next to these little things they put up along the highway, and they're creating energy.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. See, even in the system's own laws of physics, it says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? It just gets transferred to some other form of energy. So while you're driving down the road, you're creating a reaction that's producing a wind. You know, even the heat from your exhaust or your engine is actually causing the wind around there to react to it. You know, if you're like, especially in the wintertime, and you've got a hot engine mixing with cold air, you got turbulence that is created just by that process going on. And so You know, there's where their physics has sat there and told you that energy was free. That, yeah, then they turn around and try to use that twist of words to convince you that it's not. And they're always saying, well, you got losses in this and losses in that. Well, there ain't no loss. According to their own words, that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, there are no losses in the system. It just goes back out into the environment, whether it be through heat or whatever. And so to convince the world that there ain't no such thing as free electricity or free energy, so you stay in that mindset that it's easier to go over and turn the light switch on than to learn a little bit about science and physics and build your own power source or system that will tap into what's already existing. You see what I mean?
Well, you know, I can also say this, all right? That was a movie I was watching once, okay? An old John Wayne movie, just saying. And there was a doctor with them, and they were like military or whatever. And one soldier actually got his leg hurt real bad. And the doctor went, instead of doing their medicine that they had, he actually took tree moss and put on the wound.
Right.
Okay. He said it was an old Indian remedy.
Yeah.
And the leader said, "I Indian," and walked off. And he told this man, "Keep that moss on your leg. Don't take it off.
Yeah.
Or we'll have to cut your leg off."
There's one other thing that you said earlier, too, Doug, about how all the different insects or whatever have a purpose there. They have what's called, and it sounds kind of gross, but they have what's called maggot therapy. Where,
well, yeah, these slugs or maggot. Yes, yeah, they eat the gangrene and they heal the leg.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
So, there you go, man. Even nature already knows how to heal you if you just pay attention.
Well, we were at a ceremony and one of the fire keepers got burned with a cinder landed on her foot, and we're all in the lodge and we're involved here in the ceremony, couldn't stop and get out. I said to her, "See that moss over there? Put that moss on your foot." And that was it. That's how that helped.
There you go.
And you know to be honest, you know, people, a lot of people, and I'm talking leaders and people in general, a lot of people talk about, you know, power, all kinds of power.
Yeah.
And the way I look at things, if you really want to see what power is, watch a springtime storm. If that's not power.
I'll say.
Well, you ain't got none.
There's a part of that one documentary that I posted the link in there. There's a guy who lost his arm because of an accident with electricity, but after he lost his arm, they put a mechanical arm on there that by flexing a couple muscles in his chest could tell that arm to move up or down or release or whatever. And so that was also using electrical signals to send to a artificial limb. So even in that circumstance, electricity was still used to make this guy where he at least could pick stuff up again without his arm. You see what I mean?
Well, they do that with thought too now. Yeah. If you think you're talking to your body, we have to talk to our body. That's a power. If you talk negatively, guess what? You're talking to your body. Yeah. Everything we do, we say, we think, whatever, our body's listening. The immune system is functioning that way. The mind sends a signal to the hippocampus sends it to the immune system, and the immune system responds accordingly to how you are thinking, what you believe in, what you feel. So, you know, that's amazing. That's why when these doctors tell somebody, you know, you've got this many months to live, and they pick this number, 6 months, it seems across the board, 6 months, but the Symingtons, Dr. Carl and Stephanie Symington, have been doing incredible work with people who have been on their last legs when the doctor said, "Sorry, we've done everything. We filled you with chemotherapy. You're dying and we can't help you. Go home and prepare." These people found their way to the Symington's clinic And through their methods using positive affirmations, healthy, clean food, pure foods and supplements and so on, and breath, using the breath and meditation and everything and prayer, these people went into remission. And one thing they noticed was that, well, some people who were diagnosed with the same illness and had the same chance to go into a remission, you could have two people with the same identical possibility of survival, remission, and one would go home and survive and go into remission, and the other one would go home and die. And they figured out, they were trying to figure out, well, what's going on? Because these people both had all the tools, all the information we gave them, the same chance of remission. One doesn't make it, just goes home, and within weeks. They started to study that, and they realized that there was a big difference in the people. And one of it, what they recognized was the will to live.
Yeah, check this out.
The will to live.
The placebo effect is actually an actual deal that science, you know, has studied, and is basically the definition that they show here on Google is a beneficial effect produced by the placebo drug or treatment that cannot be attributed to the properties of the placebo itself and must therefore be due to the patient's belief in the treatment. So they would give these people a sugar pill and give the other ones the actual medicine. And surprisingly enough, a lot of the people with the sugar pill believed that this was going to cure them, and it did. So,
there you go. I mean, it's the power that we have within us against the odds. We've seen miracles over and over and over again against great odds where people have been told, sorry, you're going to go. And I know people who, I know a woman who had lymphoma. When I met her, she was just getting over the lymphoma treatments. She had all her hair was gone. She looked really, really bad through the chemo and everything. They filled her body with this poison. And I think it's a, what they call it, the luck of the draw, about chemo, you know? I do. I think the chemo it kills everything and your immune system. It really destroys. So it's a luck of the draw if you do survive cancer.
Chemotherapy is a terrible, terrible. It's not even medicine. It, like you just mentioned, it kills off the good bacteria, kills off the good cells along with the
bad
cells.
And the immune system. It weakens your immune system. You need to build your immune system. So anyway, this lymphoma, particularly this type of lymphoma, comes back like every 4 years, right? So 4 years went by, and basically she came back, and she determined to go into complete alternative methods. And, you know, she healed herself of that lymphoma with completely normal, healthy vitamins, juices, various other things. Did not go down the pathway of the Western medicine, you know, luck of the draw. Now, the other thing I've seen is a woman who was told by her doctor that if she didn't have a hysterectomy, she was going to die. Now she was really looking bad, and I took her to this medicine man, to this Heyoka medicine man. We did ceremony for her. She completely got healed. Completely healed.
Yeah.
She went back to the doctor, and he was like, what the heck happened? But then he said, well, maybe I misdiagnosed you. Sure.
Here's something right here. I got my father-in-law using hemp seed oil, and it's because he's been diagnosed diabetic, and he has to take certain medicines or whatever to regulate his blood sugar. But hemp seed, this is according to what you, if you Google up hemp seed oil benefits, you'll find this pop up. It says hemp seeds are rich in protein, polyunsaturated fatty acids, omega-6, omega-3, and insoluble fiber. They are a good source of, I can't even pronounce that, tocopherols, I can't even say it, vitamin E, antioxidants, high essential fatty acids, omega-6, I think I already said that. It can be used to increase immunity, counteract aging skin and improve cardiovascular health. So because of his symptoms and the research that I'd done in hemp seed oil and the fact that he wasn't going to go back to the doctor, so I put two different things in there. One would be the natural healing effect of that well water, because it's pure water. It's not right. being tampered with chlorine or fluoride. And the hemp seed oil for the internal benefits to bring in his immune system up to be able to fight off any you know, bacteria and stuff. And so we're really careful not to introduce any external bacteria into the water as we're using this whirlpool yeah. to clean away his wound and treating it. And we're watching as his leg is getting better. Yeah. Meanwhile, the doctors, you know, are trying to tell him his leg is going to fall off. And I'm saying, no,
right.
It's not. And if everything goes well and his leg completely heals itself, then he needs to make a trip back up to the doctor and say, "You look, this is what real medicine looks like." You know, it's crazy because they got to go straight to surgery and cut things and put new stuff in there and all that. And it seems like they do more damage than nature would have done if it would have been addressed. You know, there's a reason why your blood vessels and stuff plug up, and there's a natural solutions to get them unclogged as well. So, you know, it's for obvious reasons why the mainstream medical don't want to cure things like cancer or the common cold. I mean, they want to sell medicine.
Well, Shaziz, if you remember the show you and I was on Mad Science a while back, okay? And I told you that our people have been here for over 130,000 years.
Yeah.
If we didn't know what we were doing, would we yeah. still be here?
No.
Naturally, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it. Now this, the trick, I guess the mission, is to get this information out to other people out there. Just because the doggone doctor believes that you're not going to be able to make it through this deal because of, you know, whatever, you know, doesn't mean that you're done. You know, if as far as I'm concerned, if the Creator wants you home, then you're going home. There's no way you're going to get around it. But if it ain't your time, it ain't your time. And a lot of these alternative medicines that get poo-pooed on the, you know, the mainstream media and stuff like that are what people fall back to whenever they're told to go home and die. There's a lot of people out there who refuse to go home and die, and they looked into alternative medicines, and it worked. Nature has the medicine right there in front of you. It's amazing, you know. Barry's on here every once in a while, talks about different types of mushrooms that have healing qualities to them. And also talks about hemp seeds and stuff like that. There's a website called eattheseeds.com. You know, there's a reason why they used to say an apple a day helps keep the doctor away and that kind of stuff. But it's not just apple seeds. It's all the fruits that nature has provided have beneficial vitamins in there and things. And, you know, eating raw vegetables as opposed to you know, cooked vegetables could very well make the difference between whether you get cancer or not. There are two types of cancers, you know, one of which is caused by a synthetic, you know, and that's where like how the pearl is actually created in an oyster. See, pearls or oysters can't just spit out, they don't have a tongue that they can just spit, you know, grain of sand out. So if, let's say, a doggone oyster, he's opening his shell up there to get some nutrients, and in the process, a fish swims by and kicks up a little piece of sand into that oyster. Well, the oyster can't dissolve that sand, and so it coats it. It keeps on coating it, and it becomes a pearl. The same thing is like if you get a piece of, like, synthetic, like fiberglass into your lungs or something like that. Your body can't dissolve it. Little antibodies are attacking it because they know it's a foreign subject, but they can't get rid of it, so it just coats it up, and eventually you get this knot that actually kind of takes on a life of its own, and when that knot gets too big, it will start to press down on vital organs, cutting off circulation and causing that organ to fail. And then the other portion of cancer is one that's viral, where essentially your cells become mutated and start to replicate. You know, and a lot of that could be caused by genetically modified or altered foods that you shouldn't be eating to begin with. But both of which can be resolved. There's all kinds of alternative medicines out there, and there's a lady, Dr. Lorraine Day, who wrote a book years ago that says diseases don't just happen. And she breaks it down in this book, the chemistry of your body, what actually causes a person to become diabetic. It's kind of the same effect. If you're a coffee drinker, you get up every morning and your body gets used to a certain level of caffeine, and suddenly you get up in the morning and you're completely out of coffee and you feel terrible all day long. Your body's craving that caffeine or nicotine for cigarettes, for that matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever chemistry that your body gets thrown out of balance, when your body believes that that's something that you need and it ain't got it anymore, it sends signals to you to tell you, hey man, where's my caffeine? You know, and you start getting frustrated and angry and, you know, headaches and stuff like that. Well, that's the kind of stuff that Dr. Lorraine Day put in that book to explain to you why these diseases actually occur. With the understanding about nutrition and natural foods and stuff like that, and how to, you know, eat those foods and be able to get all those benefits, that's something that your culture had been doing for thousands of years, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, what I try to tell people is that, you know, as far as indigenous people on Turtle Island, we've been here over 130,000 years. And we understand the medicine people, they understand the ways of the earth and what heals people. And, you know, you have modern science saying that, you know, if you don't do this, you might die, or you will die. I knew a man that had actually cancer when he was 50. And they said, well, you're done, man. You know, in 6 months, you're going to die. You need to go home, get all your stuff in order. 30 years later is when he died. You know, he died of 80, and natural causes is what was actually said.
Well, there's a lot of alternative medicines and alternative research that has been on the table for so long. And, you know, for people out there thinking what we're talking about is hoodoo, voodoo version, everything that we said here today on this show could be backed by science. Everything, even the science, mainstream science, they say that certain things that they don't understand, it's magic. That's what they say. We don't know. What is gravity? You can't see it. It's magic. That's what they
say. I'm gonna say a little joke here. This is a little medical joke here. But it's a little medical joke. Now, here's the thing about modern medicine, okay? Say you got a problem and the doctor prescribes a certain pill for that problem, okay? That certain pill may cause five other problems that you got to get five other more pills to solve. Okay?
Yep.
And as far as medicine, I have to admit, marijuana is a medicine. They consider it a drug, but it's medicine. All right?
Hemp seed oil.
The joke is, the only side effect that you have with marijuana is happy, hungry, sleepy.
Yeah.
Happy, hungry, sleepy. I'm gonna just say something. I'm just gonna read this little bit to you. So this is about our health. And the biggest issue that we have is sugar.
Yep.
You know, and here's something. There's information. There's a book I had years ago I read called Sugar Blues. If you ever read that book, you'll never have another ounce of sugar in your whole life. But sugar is in everything today. So in the Dark Ages, troubled souls were rarely locked up for going off their rocker. Such confinement began in the Age of Enlightenment, after Sugar made the transition from apothecary's prescription to candy maker's confection. The great confinement of the insane, as one historian calls it, began in the late 17th century after sugar consumption in Britain had zoomed in 200 years from a pinch or two in a barrel of beer here and there to more than 2 million pounds per year. By that time, physicians in London had begun to observe and record terminal physical signs and symptoms of what they called the sugar blues. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying, talk about off your rocker. I mean, kids eat sugar, everybody's eating sugar, there's sugar in everything, and that's a deliberate, sugar is a big business, but I'm saying, it is the worst thing for our bodies. It's a poison, really. You know, the body can get rid of poisons through the urine. The amount of poisons in the urine is taken as an index to what's going on in the intestines. The body does establish a tolerance for these poisons, just as it adjusts gradually to an intake of heroin. But the discomfort from accumulation of what this creates are as undesirable as are all poisons. So they're called, they really have, the sugar blues is a poison because it gives us a high, but then it drops us and our body wants more. It's like an addiction. It is an addiction. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just talking about nutrition and how we are being subjected to sugar and given wrong information about foods and that they put sugar in everything. It's really bad. We have to really pay attention. The worst things for our health are sugar, white flour, white bread, and all that refined, everything that's refined. It goes through a process where they take out pretty much...
Yeah, pasteurizing.
Pasteurizing, right? So you have a lot of the things, the illnesses that people deal with if they just eliminated these products, it would change their life.
Well, there's a website. I just posted a link into the chat room. It's called, Natural Living Ideas is a website, but 12 Ways Using Hemp Seed Oil Will Improve Your Health and Life. And I'm only going to read part of it, but you guys could go down and check it out if you're interested. But said hemp seed oil extracted from the seeds of the cannabis plant has been used worldwide for hundreds of years. In 6000 BC, both the seeds and the oil were used for food in China. At the turn of the 20th century in the U.S., it was commonly used in lamps, drying oils for paints and wood varnish and more. Hemp seed oil comes from the tall growing varieties of cannabis. However, it does not contain THC. So, the part of when they have marijuana and they have hemp, which is a cousin of the same cannabis deal.
It's two different products entirely.
Well,
isn't it interesting that all the, and I've always said this, everything, every medicine that we ever needed, Creator gave us on the earth, and the hemp is one. The peyote is another. The ayahuasca is another. There's so many of these sacred plants. We call them sacred plant medicines that the government has basically set up to be against the law because they are what will heal you. And the pharmaceuticals and the cancer treatments and all that. You know, there have been, this is just known by us, by many, that there are treatments for these illnesses already been in place for many, many years, but they are basically, you know, called rogue treatments. They're not scientifically, you know, studied. There's no money involved, but they heal people, but they are the problem for the government and for the cabal because they don't want the healthy people.
Well,
they don't want these. And water itself. So you take water, you say, okay, water is a healing medicine. In its pure structure, water is a healer, but they have corrupted the the water deliberately.
Well, in 1937, Congress passed the Marijuana Tax Act and basically made it illegal pretty much by the time it's all said and done. It started off the whole drug war and everything. But the hemp, it had nothing to do with getting high, you know. But it did have, there's like, from what I understand, there's over 50,000 separate products that could be made from this particular deal. It's all natural, you know, instead of, you know, digging in to make all kinds of synthetics or whatever. They make shirts out of hemp that
Well, you wouldn't need to cut trees down.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to pollute the earth. You wouldn't need to dig into the earth. Everything that we, like clothing, housing, shoes, everything that you could imagine can be made from the hemp product.
It said that,
and they're preventing this from happening.
It said that hemp seed oil can lower the risk of heart disease. It can help to balance hormones, reduce PMS, menopause symptoms. Use hemp seed oil to reduce inflammation such as arthritis and such. Hemp seed oil relieves the pain of arthritis. It may prevent some forms of cancer. Use hemp seed oil to heal skin conditions.
I'm gonna jump in here. Do you know in the First Nations, in the original people, there was no such thing as PMS? Just saying.
Well,
I mean it really.
Well, I believe it. There's just, it's crazy that these, they come up with all kinds of different terminologies for all kinds of different illnesses.
Yep.
But somebody,
yeah, that they create. Yeah.
Like, especially with the ADHD and things like that.
All that is made up. All that is just, you know, introduced to harm the people.
They give people,
to harm our children.
Crazy drugs, basically, like a...
Well, it's the food. When you take a child in school who is termed disruptive and a problem, blah, 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 goes immediately these days, the teachers recommend that the parents immediately... Well, they don't recommend, they say, if you don't take your child to a psychologist, he's not allowed in school. That's where they are now. So you take your child to the psychologist... Psychologists, I've seen this in documentaries, they don't even ask questions. What is your child eating? What's your environment like? What's going on with the family? No, they have a prescription ready, already in their hands, and handed to that parent, and there they go down that rabbit hole that messed the place of the nightmare with their child taking these drugs that have side effects, and they go back because their child can't sleep or their child is overeating. Oh, well, here's another pill. This is madness. Now, if they ask questions about the diet, sugar is one of the issues that these children are dealing with. Hyperactivity, you know, sugar drops you emotionally. It gives you a high. You're hyper. It drops you emotionally. You're lethargic. You go up and down with these sugars and with these various chemicals in your. You know, in the foods that they're feeding the kids and adults are eating and drinking, you know, Coke,
yep.
Gatorade. I mean, all these things are just sugar, colored sugar water. I mean, it's really, this is what's going on with the children. And so you say, well, PMS was never in existence. It wasn't even in existence when I was young. But in the ancient cultures, there was no such thing because they were eating real, natural, healthy foods.
Yep, that's the whole thing. You know, we got all the solutions necessary. We just got to decide to use it. That's the key right there. And how you get a culture that has been, I hate to say the word, dumbed down, but, you know, truth be told.
It's called step away from the Cheerios.
Yeah.
Step away from Kellogg's. Just joking, but...
Well, it's true, though. If you go down to... I always joked around about... If you ever want materials to make a bomb, go down the snacks food section.
And well, what do they say? If you pour a Coke on a car, it will eat the paint.
Well, that they use Coca-Cola to take the corrosion off of battery terminals.
Exactly. I was fixing to say that.
And Kool-Aid. In the Navy, there used to be this deal where they called Kool-Aid bug juice. And they used it to clean the deck platings on the floor. You know, that stuff would strip away any crud because it was acidic. And, you know, so if you can use this Kool-Aid to clean the floor, then it's probably doing something strange to your body as well.
You don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
We know that story.
Not to mention in the dental world, it's tearing up your teeth, and then so you got to go to the dentist, and then they want to put in mercury fillings and stuff like that, which is adding another aggravation to the whole deal. And you know, so they got these papers out that say, and it'd be terrifying if you actually read it, because some of your favorite foods might be in there. But so many particles of such and such can be in any given thing for it to be able to still be able to pass, this food standards and stuff. So if you knew what was actually in some of the things that you eat, you probably wouldn't eat it. And even in vaccinations and stuff like that, so many parts per million or particles per whatever is deemed to be safe. But a lot of these things, they'll build up in your body over time. Like that aspartame, that's probably one of the worst things that they ever put out there, after they did saccharin and stuff like that. But that stuff there, it builds up in your body. And, if you're drinking diet soda with aspartame in there, your kids are eating candy with aspartame, it's an alternative to sugar, but it's not a natural alternative to sugar. If you don't understand what I'm trying to say here, I mean, there's other natural sugars that you can get, and even those could be abused. If you eat too much of anything, it throws your chemistry out of balance.
Well, here's the thing. So, talking about Coca-Cola, right? Coca-Cola called Light now. Okay, this is the new thing. Coca-Cola Light. It has no caffeine, but it contains sodium cyclamate, which is a banned sweetener, due to a possible link to bladder cancer. And in parts of Europe and South America, it's banned. In the U.S., it contains acesulfame potassium, which might have caused neurological conditions in mice. Some of the top offenders are below. And here's the list of what you have in Coca-Cola. High fructose corn syrup. Okay. Of course it causes a tremendous obesity in people and, heavy duty health concerns. It's worse for you than actually regular sugar. Just like butter, that product Better Than Butter? Well, I don't know what was in that, but it wasn't anything real. Butter is actually better for you than Better Than Butter.
Yep. There's a lot of people out there who don't drink coffee, but they drink a whole lot of soda. A lot of the sodas have caffeine in them, which caffeine will dehydrate your body, but caffeine can be addictive. You get used to a certain amount of soda, plus not to mention all the sugar that's inside there, and now you've got two problems that are impacting your chemistry of your body. So you got the extra sugar that your body's getting used to, you got the extra caffeine that your body's getting used to, and then when you don't have that soda, then your body's going to react accordingly because your body now thinks that it requires that much because it's been getting that all
along. Well, it's addiction. Yeah. People don't read labels. If you read the labels of what you're putting into your body or into your child's body, and you can't pronounce it, what's in that?
Yeah.
Put it back on the shelf. I mean, there's something here called a carcinogenic chemical called 4-methylimidazole. It's a MEI, a caramel coloring, okay? It's present in various Cokes and Pepsis and so on. It's a carcinogenic. It's a cancer-causing, and they're putting it. The FDA allows this because they have these grades, okay, it's minimal, what they call, they grade these various, chemicals, you can have a certain percentage in your body, but you can't have any more, so they pass this product because it has only 29 micrograms or whatever. But if you have the Coke, then you have the Better Than Butter, and then you have the white bread, And then you have the, which by the way have calcium propionate in it. Do you know what calcium propionate is? It's an embalming fluid.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just saying, so as you're a child and you're being subjected to all these chemicals and byproducts and, you know, colorings and the red dye number two, it took them 20 years to eliminate red dye number two from foods. But then they added, well, let's try this other dye, red dye number whatever five, or yellow dye number whatever. And so then the FDA allows that. But it took people 20 years, or let's say those who were concerned about this red dye number two, because it was a carcinogenic that was being put in our food, and it took the FDA, well, it took the people who were fighting this to get the FDA to finally ban it. It took 20 years. Man. You see, this is how this works, but you have the buildup in your body starting as a child, the buildup in your body over time, and by the time you're a teenager, you're starting down the road of, you know, diabetes and various other things, and then when you become, you know, older, there you go. You're really in trouble because you're still consuming these things. BPA. Do you know what BPA is? Bisphenol A, BPA. This is in the food containers and water bottles. It's Lines aluminum soda cans, but it's chemicals. It's an endocrine disruptor. You want to put that in your body?
It's funny because you think back about just the history of Coca-Cola. There's a deal out there. If you go on Snopes.com, which I really don't like because they got kind of a bias, but nonetheless, it talks about Coca-Cola. 1885 was named for its two medicinal ingredients, extract of coca leaf and cola nut. And so basically it had cocaine in it back in the day.
And yeah.
Yeah.
That's how everybody got addicted to it.
And so, you know, what actually makes it on the market and passed off as food these days is kind of ridiculous, because supposedly they want people to not be obese and become healthier and not become diabetic and all that. But yet, if you read the labels, like you said, you can't even pronounce half the words that's on them, and it doesn't, it's not beneficial to your body. So, you know, but it's still somehow or another, because of lobbying, you know, the industries or Congress or whatever, somehow or another, they'll allow certain bits of whatever to be in everything. And you never know what's going to be passing off as food. And the candy that you give your children and stuff, well, you better be aware of what's in there. Because next thing you know, you got an obese diabetic child from eating too much of the wrong stuff. Or, you know, like my mom, she used to drink all tons of this doggone Diet Pepsi that had saccharin in it. It sent her to the hospital quite literally with heart attack-like symptoms, because it builds up over time in your system. And
We pretty much know now about fluoride, you know, that it's a byproduct of some company that was using it in World War II, I think. Now, some people say that it's something that the Nazis used. I don't have that. That fact. I don't know. But I'm just saying that the fluoride was introduced into our water systems after the war, and it also was introduced in Europe, in England particularly. And there was a study done from that time, I guess in Europe, in England, a study done from that time, and I don't know who did this study, but I read this article a few years ago, so I don't have it factual here, but it was an article that there was England, the government in England was actually suing the United States company that brought the fluoride there, which again, I don't have that fact, because they noticed through their studies a change in the people's health and a rise in various cancers and issues with children, and they equated it to fluoride.
Well, there you go. There's a deal called advanced fluoridosis out there. Look it up. It's where your teeth start turning colors because too much.
Well, I had that. I'm my sister, myself, my brothers. We had what we call, it's called mottling, M-O-T-T-L-I-N-G, in relation to fluoride. Your teeth change colors, and ridges are formed on your teeth. This is all due to the fluoride. These were studies that were done, and various other, skeletal issues, bone issues, and of course, then it's got to be organs, got to affect your organs. So yeah, we had that mottling, it's called, from the fluoride.
So anyway, we're getting down to the wire again. It's that time again. Hope everybody joins us for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, because it usually takes on a life of its own. It's a wonderful show, in my opinion. And so, basically, we ask the question, what will it take? You know, what will it take to wake people up in this world and get people, you know, back on the right direction of health and free energy and all that kind of stuff? It's going to take you, the average Joe, sharing information. You know, if you guys hear this radio show and you like the content and you think there's anything that's going to be beneficial, dude, we got people that join us in the chat room all the time. Stephen Gibbons, he posted a resource link at the top. It's called Stephen's Resource Page. Just click on that button. It's right above the radio player in the super chat room. And click on that and see all the research that he put out there for you. Plus, every time there's a show, he's up in there throwing out pertinent links to the show. So there, if you can scroll up at the top of these chat rooms and you can go back so many comments and see all the links from prior shows and stuff like that. And there you go. You have a resource now available to you to if you've got some particular subject that you're looking into. Ask us, you know, join us on Skype or on the Knights of the Round Table, and we'll help you research it. That's what this whole thing is all about, bringing this platform together. You know, people like over there at People for People Radio, and, I mentioned it earlier. What was the name of that radio show that he told me about earlier? Wolf something.
Wolf Spirit Radio.
Wolf Spirit Radio, there you go. Sorry about that. I'm getting old, my memory's slipping. But there's things for that, too. That Ginkgo Biloba Plus, I've been taking some of that. Kind of helps out a little bit. Anyway, it's a lot of natural remedies out there. But what I'm trying to get across here is, though, all the research, when you want to ask, what will it take? It'll take just what we're doing right here. It'll take you passing.
It takes us all. It takes everyone together.
Yeah. Takes you passing that information that is pertinent to whatever need you got in your community and bringing your tribes together and, start working together on resolving issues and learning about the food that you're eating, learning about the electricity that you're using, learning about alternative methods for just about everything, quite literally everything under the sun. There's a solution out there. See, when I first started in on the radio, it was on TNS Radio where they believed, seeking solutions. So we'd talk about problems, we'd talk about solutions, and that was the whole deal. That was a way to help people by giving them options available to them, outside of the mainstream media, the mainstream science, the mainstream governments, the system that has become so incredibly entwined in our life and corrupted. But you, the average Joe, have the power to quite literally turn this world around if you want. And it's going to take us getting together like Barbara mentioned just a second ago. If we do that, and you share these podcasts with people whenever you hear a good podcast and you like what you've heard there and you know somebody that needs that information, and then if you have information that you think the world could benefit from, bring it to the table. That's a good thing about the Knights of the Round Table. That table is huge. We can fit as many people as we can get around the table, and then, if need be, stretch it out for some more. It's an ever-expanding table of all different types of networks and cultures and, belief systems, whatever. It's just people for people, just like People for People Radio states. So with that said, Barbara, you got anything you want to say before we roll up out of here?
Just thank you. It's always good to be here with you and Two Dog and our I find our days together, our times together, are always inspiring and insightful and uplifting, and yeah, and that's a good thing to do. And I just say I'm just grateful for all of you out there, for everybody. Ilamaya, Doksha.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm just grateful to be here with you guys as well. What about you two, dog?
Well, number one, I'm just grateful to be here in the first place, and I'm thankful that you and your wife are okay, and your parents are. And it takes everybody to do what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to the world is, it's better off to be in peace than to fight each other. And we're all related around the world anyway, whether you like it or not. Under one creator, just call them a different name around the world, and you know. So I'm just grateful to be here, and hope the world just understands that we can help each other to make it through this thing.
Well, I believe that as well. Great words of wisdom once again. And I think that our creator wasn't done with me and my wife, and I think this world still needed us for, you know, our specific purpose of trying to help people out. So I think that's why we're still here. I don't think that things happen for nothing. I think that everything happens for a reason. And this, you know, reason of us being here on Shaziz Radio and People for People Network and... Doggone it, what was the one you just mentioned earlier?
Wolf Spirit Radio.
Wolf Spirit Radio. Sorry about that. That's twice on the same show.
I would like also, I'm going to just say this. My show will be on Tuesday. I think it's 3 to 5 CST. It's called Nation to Nation, and we'll be having the World Summit on this coming Tuesday.
Great. So if you have an opportunity to, dog, just throw some links down in those chat rooms down there, and we'll pass them around. But people, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show, and it's good to be back. Hope don't go anywhere to see anytime soon. So if you like what you heard on this show, please pass it along and join us on the Knights of the Round Table, because we got some wonderful souls that come to the table with a lot of good information, and that's what it's all about. I think, and I honestly believe, that we can change this world if we all choose to work together, and that's what we want. If we want it, we'll make it happen, and so that's what we're working towards. That's why Shaziz Radio is in existence, and that's why all these other networks of like mind have come together, trying to share these shows with you. We got a good thing going on. I think we should keep it going on. I think we'll be just fine as long as we keep the faith. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! Well, what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This... it's truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacity stores... this sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Of the Starship Enterprise, its continuing mission
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.